Blog Talk Radio.
Ohio, Ohio, Ohio.
Hello, 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 and welcome again to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. Looks like the voice a little late. Let's see who we got in here. 8627. Sorry to keep y'all waiting, man. We had some technical difficulties going on up in here. What's up? Anybody in here? Am I alone in here?
Ah, man. Nah, you ain't alone, man. Let's go ahead and get this show started. You already know who it is. You already know what it do. Let's go.
My bad, man. I've been working on this thing, man. I started like 15 minutes ago. I saw you in there, and everything just went haywire. I had to shut down and restart. But anyway, having a good week in sports here. I just got done watching for real the Sports Center on the Warriors and Spurs. So the Warriors tied the 1996 Chicago Bulls record for 72 wins in a season. I think our original topic we was going to talk about if they should rest their starters, but I think at this point with one game left, what you think? I mean, one game for the record, what could go wrong?
Oh, everything can go wrong. Nerves, you know, all of that can cause them to not go ahead and get that record. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's very well possible. I do think that they can do it, but it's a lot riding on just one game. One game break history. I think it's a lot that can go wrong with that.
I think they playing the Memphis Grizzlies again, right?
Yeah, Grizzlies again.
And they had a good game the other day, too. A pretty good game. And I think Memphis is one of those teams that are pretty much built to beat you, at least where the Warriors have a lot of guards that can shoot. The Grizzlies have a lot of wing players that can defend. And so they could probably match them, at least defensively. I don't know how they're going to score against them. But I don't know. Like you said, anything can happen. You know, an injury to maybe a key player, even just a key bench player, you know, even if you do break the record, when you win, I guess it's risk-reward still.
No, I agree with that. Injury.
So what do you think about the Cavaliers resting? Anybody else that, I mean, I don't think they're going for a record at this point. The Spurs are not going for a record, you know. And they had that home streak ended, you know. Should other teams like the Cavs, maybe the Raptors, anybody, you know, rest their players for any reason?
No, for the Cavs specifically, I think that they definitely should go ahead and just rest players because, I mean, home court advantage is a great thing to have, but at the same time, I mean, we've already seen what, you know, tired players, you know, what can happen to them as far as injuries go, as far as, you know, just not being productive. We already seen what rested players can do, you know, especially in LeBron's case, you know, I mean, him getting up there in age, you know, and, you know, the injuries that he's had, you know, back problems and things like that. I definitely think that it definitely is in their best interest to go ahead and rest their players because I think in a 7-game series, nobody in the East can mess with the Cavs. So go ahead, get that rest, you know, ride through easy on the East Coast. I mean, 7 games, whether or not that home game going to be in somebody else's city or, you know, our city, we could go ahead and make it out. We ain't going to have home game advantage in, you know, when it comes to the finals anyway. So Miles just rest them and just go ahead with it. The rest of the teams, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know about the Raptors and them and what, you know, they really should do. I think they at this point, I mean, they obviously planned because they wanted to get that number one seed, but it really ain't going to matter, man, because ain't nobody going to go and knock the Cavs out of 7 games unless something horribly go wrong with the Cavs.
Right. So, you know, definitely rest them. Meach, Big Meach, you in there. What's up, bro? Man, sorry I'm late.
Yeah, I am in there. No homo, though, but I'm in there, baby.
No
like
homo.
Swimwear, you feel me? Yeah, I'm in there. But, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Thanks for the, you know what I'm saying, weak introduction, but, you know what I'm saying? My name is, you know what I mean? It's Demetrius, you know what I'm saying, a.k.a. Meech, you know what I'm saying? Better known as, you know what I mean, Black Superman, you know what I'm saying, back in here, ready to talk sports with you fellas, you know what I mean? So,
peace, man. So, just go ahead. We're going to keep going rolling with the topic, though, man. Me and Tay was talking about the Warriors and whatnot breaking the record. I mean, I think original topic was should, you know, any teams rest the injuries. You know, I think that's what we decided on. Should any team rest players for the playoffs for any reason, you know, like injury or anything. And, you know, for the Warriors, I think in particular now, since they beat San Antonio, I was saying, should they just go ahead and go for this? It's one game. I guess, right, they just got to get one game. You know, should they just go for the record or should they just rest and just be satisfied with what they got and rest their players? I don't think it makes sense at this point. What you think?
Yeah, I think that you at this point, you know, you got to go for the record. You know what I'm saying? I think I agree. And you, this probably will be the last time you ever hear me say this, but I agree with Draymond Green, you know, 110%. When you ever going to be in this position again to do this? Never. You know, so while you got this position, you know, you got to make history. You know what I'm saying? Strike while the iron's hot. Now, that's as we go. I think they should. Now, other teams, I feel as though, you know, they should rest. As far as this, like, as far as, like,
cool.
If you got older veterans, like a veteran team like Miami, you know, people that's got their constructed, like, veteran team, like
good
Clippers
point.
As well, too. You know, like, if you got veteran players, I think that you should more so rest them. Because they do need that rest to go in there, like, cause they know how to play, how the playoffs are going to be. They need more rest. Now, young teams like Indiana or, you know, maybe even a Toronto, I think they should play definitely because it would be like a last tune-up before, you know, shit get real. So, you know, I think you just got to play it by ear by each team.
Okay. Hey, let me get Mike in there. Hey, Mike. Tell me what you feel about, you know, Golden State going for that record about resting players, my brother.
Hello, guys. Excuse my lateness to the party. I feel like they should definitely go for the record because, like Demetrius just said, there's no chance they'll ever, well, not no chance, but the chances of them getting back there is crazy to ever think they'll get back there in a reasonable time. So while you're there, why not go for the record? At least try. Well, right now they're tying, so why not try to go for it all the way to make history in a sport that's forever changing?
Okay. All right. Definitely. I agree with you and Meech, Mike. I don't think anybody else is really going to get to this point. I think this is once in a lifetime, and it's only this team. It would be this team with Steph Curry breaking his own record for threes again, setting probably a record that isn't going to be broken for a long time. You know, it's something special going on right now. I think you don't worry about it. These are athletes. They got egos, too. You know, they want to do things. They feel like that they can survive it. I was fine the other games. I mean, yeah, anything could go wrong, but I want my chance. And like y'all said, when are they going to get this chance again? So, I guess that was that. I mean, Mike, did you have anything on any other teams that should rest players? You know, any other teams that should?
I think everybody, I'm really biased against resting players. I'm kind of have a whole different analogy as far as resting players. Like, if you got really old players like the Spurs, I understand resting players. But as far as besides like the Spurs and really old players like
maybe the Heat,
really
too. You think the Heat is an older team, like Meech said?
I mean, yeah, it's an older team, but at this point, like, you know what I mean, with certain people like Dwayne Wade, I understand because he's very injury prone at this point in his career, but I just don't. I'm against resting players altogether because I'm sure, like, I overheard a speech from Steve Kerr back with the 94, well, with the Bulls that had broke the record with the 72-10. None of them rested games off like that. They all played the 82 games. So I'm kind of against it. I think the league is becoming soft in my point of view.
Okay. Yeah. Most definitely. So, you know, from, I guess, resting players to, I know we had another topic we was talking about, the NBA Hall of Fame induction. Shaquille O'Neal, Allen Iverson, Yao Ming, and Cheryl Swoops, to name a few. But I think I had told y'all when they first nominated him for it, I said, is Yao Ming a Hall of Famer? I think it was a unanimous no for various reasons. So now that he is a Hall of Famer, I mean, really, let's talk about or reiterate why you think he is or is not or shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, especially this Hall of Fame class. We'll start with Demetrius.
All right. First, I want to get some things clear. Yo. And we on a public, you know what I mean, public thing. Please refrain from using my government name. I got warrants. So I just want y'all to just be mindful of that, okay?
Okay.
But getting back to the question at hand, though, I don't think Yao Ming is definitely not a Hall of Famer to me personally. His numbers to me, it wasn't considered. He stayed injury prone. I think that if he would have, you know, stayed healthy, most definitely, I can project him to be earning it. I think that is why I don't think he deserves it. I think that he was the biggest letdown to me personally in Houston Rockets history, other than Dwight Howard. They paired him with Tracy McGrady in efforts to get a championship, you know, and he never was healthy enough for Tracy McGrady to get any help, you know, consistently. So I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think so at all. And I would love to see – I would love to hear from the commissioner and those who voted, like, how did that happen? How?
Oh, that's a really good question. Tay, what you feel about – I mean, reiterate what you think about Yao Ming being a Hall of Famer.
I don't see it. I don't, and his numbers, they just don't speak Hall of Fame numbers to me. I mean, I like Yao Ming as a player. I do think, you know, just from the fact of popularity status, yeah, you know, you would like to see Yao Ming, you know, in the Hall of Fame, man. But when you really got to look at it numbers wise, this man was injury prone. I mean, He was not that great of a player that I believe that he should have definitely be, you know, selected to be in the Hall of Fame, especially when you pair him up to, like, somebody like Shaq, you know, how many titles he got. Like, the man don't even have a ring. I mean, you know, this dude only got a ring, I think, over in China, if that, or was named, like, some type of champion. Or he was a dunk contest champion in China, man, like, a dunk contest champion. Like, this dude, out of all the people in the world. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't agree with that at all. I mean, he averaged only, 19 points, you know, through his career, 1.9 blocks, you know, this type of stuff.
That's,
man,
about
this
two blocks.
That's about two blocks. About. But for a Hall of Fame player, though, over your career, I just don't agree with that, thinking that, you know, that's a good enough number to say, hey, you should be up in the Hall of Fame for the number of blocks that you averaged over your career. I mean, he only averaged, 2.5 offensive rebounds. Like, I mean, I don't know, man. For the dude to be the height that he was, I don't know. I looked at his stats, and I wasn't impressed at all. I mean, looking at him play, I mean, he wasn't exactly the type of sighting player that you want to just go to the game to watch either. But still, just looking at his stats, man, I was more disappointed than anything.
Mike, add on to that for me, man.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what everybody else is saying. I don't feel like he should be in the Hall of Fame, but then based off of his scoring stats, his stats alone, but then when I looked and I heard that it was a different voting for him like it was a small, like it was a international vote, and which gave him a benefit of the doubt because he's an international player versus an American player. That definitely didn't rub me the right way. Toss when it comes down to like getting voted into the Hall of Fame.
Okay. All right. So I just, I'm taking a look at the Hall of Fame here, just the website. Naismith Basketball Memorial Hall of Fame is, they have an honors committee, and they, speaking on what Meech was saying, like who votes for this, it's, they include Hall of Famers, basketball executives, media members, and other contributors to the game. A person needs a minimum of 18 votes from an honors committee to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame. There are 24 people on each honors committee. Yeah, I mean, it's a five-year, I guess the five-year, yeah, it's a candidacy for 5 years, and then you have to be off for 5 years to be eligible to be reactivated as one of those members. So, I mean, I don't know who those are now, but, yeah, I guess Yao Ming made the 18. You think it's 18 out of 24 people to say Yao Ming's a Hall of Famer?
Not at all.
I mean in any group, in any group of people.
In any group of people, no. I mean, but apparently China.
Right.
China, I mean, that's a whole different story.
Right, yeah, me. What do you think? I mean, yeah. You hear the process. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's politics, or you know, what I'm saying maybe something like that? I think Orion said something like that, to that effect.
I think it's politics of it, definitely. I mean, the only thing I take out of this whole thing with Yao Ming is I know it better. I know Tracy McGrady better be a first round Hall of fucking Famer. I know that. I know that.
You said so. Hold on. You said Tracy McGrady better be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he better be. Damn right. If somebody with 19 points made it with no playoff, with no winning, no nothing, I know Tracy McGrady better. He better be through first round Hall of Famer. No question asked.
Mm.
No,
I agree with that.
Close. Well, yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, I'd take Tracy McGrady's career over Yao Ming's. I mean, though Yao Ming's wasn't bad.
30 seconds.
You mentioned numbers. A little under 19 points a game. A little under 10 rebounds a game, just over 9. I think it's about 9.7. I'm looking at it again. As Tay said, about 2 blocks a game, which is pretty good for, I guess, a power, any big man. And he was pretty consistent, especially from the free throw line. He had one of those jump shots like a Pau Gasol, like a Zydrunas Ilgauskas, like a Kevin Garnett, that if you really left him open, he could really, you know what I'm saying, make you pay from the mid-range, which, I mean, I guess assisted him in looking good. But like Meech said, it's about accomplishments as well. So if we just want to talk about numbers, like you said, I guess Tracy McGrady better be a first ballot.
I just want you to know that you just
disrespected.
He
got blocked by Nate Robinson.
I saw Shaq did. I ain't know y'all did. I saw Shaq did, but I just want you to know,
yeah,
sure, that you just disrespected Kevin Garnett more than Carmelo did by saying you just spared y'all main jump shot to Kevin Garnett. I just want you to know that you did that. And I hope Kevin Garnett comes see you about that.
Okay, well, I mean, you're right. It's a different type. I'm just saying it's a mid-range shot. Like, y'all could shoot the mid-range. His is more like Z's, like he would stand there and shoot it. Kevin Garnett would, you know, it would be an actual jump shot, you know, which is different to defend. And I agree with that. But I was specifically saying that as a big man, he had a mid-range shot. That's
all.
You ain't
got to explain yourself to this dude.
All right. Speaking of jump shots and I guess Hall of Famers, I guess talking about this year's MVP is going to lead us into our next set of categories for, it's about to be the end of the season. So, I mean, it's awards time again. So MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player, and Sixth Man. You know, what y'all got? Who want to start?
I'll take it first. Go ahead. I'll take it first. MVP, I'm going to go with Westbrook, man. That dude continued the triple-doubles from last year when the team sucked. You know, Kevin Durant was out. He continued it. He kept it going. He got the you know, he leading the league in triple-doubles right now. I think, you know, Draymond Green is not too far behind him. But just with the team that he got, and for him to be able to get triple-doubles, like, I could see somebody get a double-double and being able to still somewhat call them a ball hog some way, somehow. But I feel like, obviously, if you got that triple-double with the stat line that he got, man, that's not a ball hog. That's somebody who's trying to will your team on by not just going ahead and scoring the points, but getting your team involved and being somewhat effective at it to the point that you can get a triple-double. So I go with Westbrook for, you know, MVP. For coach, I mean, Steve Kerr probably going to get it. I always like to give Greg Popovich the coach of the year just for the fact of what he has, what he's able to do with the talent that he has. This dude would take somebody who just walked off the street and turn them into an all-star, you know, Kawhi Leonard. Rookie of the year, we'll go with Towns. I definitely think he's proven himself to be, you know, one of the most versatile big men in the league, you know, rookies, and sixth man a year. I don't know about sixth man anymore, man. That's still a toss up for me. I can't put a name to that one.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's interesting. Demetrius, come on, man. He agreed with you, I think, on your MVP, man. What's your end of the season award? Start off with your MVP and why.
Okay. You know, my first MVP, I'm going with Westbrook, man, just off the strength of, you know what I'm saying, I know everybody, I know the popular pick is, you know, Steph Curry, you know what I'm saying, but I'm going to say that Steph Curry has a whole host of, you know, help. You know, he has players, you know what I'm saying, he could depend on nightly, like a Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, like, hey, say, like, you know, some triple-doubles, you know. He got players around him, Andre Iguodala, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people. Westbrook has done more with less. How this man gets triple-doubles, passing it to Sam Adams, all the rest of Cantor, these other Deion Waiters, you know what I'm saying? It's miraculous to me. I think that he does more with less. Like, we have seen when Kevin Durant and Westbrook go out the game, the Thunder go on droughts of, like, not going scoreless for 5 minutes. Like, they are terrible without outside of Westbrook and Durant. So I think that says more to me. For him to be doing so much more with less, and I feel as though he's getting better. Like, he still gets out of control at times, but, you know, he's getting a little bit better with, you know, handling the game and managing the game. So I'm going with him, man. I think he's more valuable. He's the most valuable player to his team in this league. You know, then that's where I stand with that. Coach of the Year, I want to give props to the coach of the Celtics, man, and the coach of the Indiana Pacers. I think with those two teams,
Brad Stevens and who the Pacers? What's
Vogel,
the Pacers coach name again?
I think it's Vogel. Frank Vogel.
Yeah, Vogel. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but those two coaches, I think that they have done a hell of a job. Like, they've been under the radar, but they've been a feisty group. You know, they've been battling. Playoff bound, you know, and they've been battling, like, banging with
Eric Spoelstra.
The top team.
You don't
exactly.
Think Eric Spoelstra?
I don't know. I'm kind of biased against Eric Spoelstra. I don't know. I think he's a product of the players that he has. Honestly, that's just me.
Okay.
But I kind of like those people. Sixth man of the year, you know, I'm going with J.R. Smith, you know, hometown favorite. You know, J.R. Smith.
Okay.
You know, breaking Cavs records for threes, you know, even though some people on this show wanted to see him traded for a Washington
Cavs
J.J. Redick. It's either here nor there. Defensive player of the year, still Kawhi Leonard. To me, I know everybody's saying Draymond and this and that, but Kawhi Leonard plays defense on the best player of each team that he plays on, and he does a great job night in and night out. And he also scores as well, so I'm going to get a nod to him. Rookie of the Year, definitely Carl Anthony Towns. I think it's got to go to him. I mean, he just hit a game winner, you know, the other day. Boy's a beast. Boy's a beast. So, you know,
Five more minutes, y'all.
Go ahead, Big Mike. Throw the oop to Blake.
All right,
Big Mike.
Did you get your – yeah, Big Mike, come on, man, with your end-of-the-season year award. Start with your MVP.
All right, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and start with that because I know when I get my Rookie of the Year, I'm probably going to get muted. So, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and go with Steph Curry for a couple of reasons because, for one, just watching him play is phenomenal. And that's a biased opinion probably. But if you look at his numbers, I mean, granted, it's not triple-doubles, but compared to what it used to be, and if you look at it now, like the game you just had today was 37-5-5. And for the way that the team plays, to see him get average up 5-5 puts him in a position where, like, he's still helping the team, even though he's predominantly the scorer of the team. And then for Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going with Draymond Green. Seeing just because of the fact, even though he's sort of like the leader of the team, but he also will pick up anybody in guard, anybody on the team, 5-1, he can swing out and pick him up on that position. And then also for the sixth man, I'm going to give it to Jamal Crawford because he still came out of nowhere and he's still beasting as the man off the bench. Coach of the Year, I like you kind of took my lucky charm with the Eric Spoelstra, just seeing how the Heat was on a decline before the All-Star game, but with Ben picking up Joe Johnson, the team that went from like fighting for the eighth seed team to managing to be in the fourth, fifth position. I mean, I think it's decent enough. I mean, yeah, I could go with Luke Walton, who's about to be the Phoenix Suns coach next year.
Oh, man.
But that's neither here nor there. And then for my Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go with D'Angelo Russell because
– That's it.
Please mute this
sorry,
man. You got to mute this man, please, bro.
Wow.
Eric Spoelstra and D'Angelo Russell. Rookie
Please,
of the year, man.
Don't let him talk
Come
to
on,
you,
man.
Bro. Oh,
all right, man. That's terrible. But anyway, I'm gonna match y'all really quick. Okay, so Mike, I agree with you on a sixth man of the year, Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford averaged 14 points, 2 assists. He shot 33% from 3-point, which is pretty good. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's starting numbers. That's starting three spot or two guard numbers right there. So, I mean, on the Clippers team, which averages a lot of points, he, you know, he does his part and he's been doing it consistently. I got him for sixth man. Coach of the year is Greg Popovich. No question about it. We saw with just like Mike was really saying with the Luke Walton situation and Steve Kerr. I mean, the Golden State Warriors is pretty much a team. So, I mean, Greg Popovich does this year in and year out. He had them even competing with them with the type of players and the type of team that he has. So, Greg Popovich, even though shouts out to those other coaches like, you know, Brad Stevens and Frank Vogt. My Rookie of the Year is going to be Carl Anthony Towns. He's been consistent. He has the numbers. He's a real NBA superstar. He's going to be that, and he proved it this year. He separated himself from other players. MVP? I'm with y'all on Russell Westbrook. It's him, period. You know, he does more with less. You know, he pretty much Kobe, Jordan. And, I mean, it's hard to say, but, you know, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook going to have to split up. They're going to have to split up or they're going to have to go somewhere else together where somebody else can, you know, they can have other players or somebody can coach them better. But, yeah, again, I think Russell Westbrook is the MVP. Steph Curry is good, and he has been. He's been better than he was last year, but I said last year he shouldn't have been MVP. It should have been Russell Westbrook. So, to me, just because Curry outdid himself, damn it, Russell Westbrook outdid himself. He leads the league with 17 triple-doubles. And the next person is Draymond Green, which happens to be Stephen Curry's partner in crime and teammate. So, Russell Westbrook all day. Anybody else, any tip-ins, anything anybody else want to say?
Once again, you disrespected Westbrook by comparing him to the bum, Kobe Bryant, who stunk it up all season. You have the nerve to mention his name with Russell Westbrook. Don't ever do that again.
He got 37 a day, though.
35, I thought.
You are getting muted.
No.